Today we are continuing our season of Lent. Lent is a time in which we reflect on our sin and how our sin creates separation from God and others. And because sin separates us from God, who is the source of all life, the consequence of sin is death. We saw this just a few weeks ago with Adam and Eve. The first sin, which is Adam and Eve eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And immediately when they do this, they realize that their bodies are frail. It's a sign that their bodies are breaking down, because they are no longer connected to God, who is the source of life. You see, today's readings today are all about death, which is the consequence of sin. Because we are disconnected from God, death is a part of the human experience, something that we all have to face. And Lent is a time, a difficult time, in which we acknowledge the reality of death, so that we can prepare ourselves for the good news of the gospel, that God is going to rescue us from death through the cross and the resurrection of Christ. So today's gospel reading is not just about death, but how Jesus allows us to face death and ultimately overcome it. So let's take a look at this gospel passage today, and let's discover how Jesus approaches death. The first thing that we discover is that Jesus weeps at death. This passage is about the death of one of Jesus' closest friends, a man named Lazarus. Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha are Jesus' closest friends, and so Jesus travels to Bethany to meet Mary and Martha, and ultimately to visit Lazarus' grave. You see, during Jesus' time, death was everywhere. There were no hospitals. The average life expectancy wasn't even 40 years old. When people developed diseases, they had to wear them out in the open. There was this disease called leprosy, where people had open sores, and they were cast out of town. If you're interested in this, look at how many times the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, talks about the smell of death. It's this sign that you couldn't escape even the odor of death. It was a day-to-day fact of life. Now, this is still true today. But, you know, in our society, we've made all these technological advances, all these medical advances. And some of these things have been really great. They've enabled us to prolong life. But the downside of that is it's sometimes we can feel insulated from death, and actually not a reminder of how present it is. So think about the society we live in. When somebody is sick, we put them in a hospital, we isolate them, and the only people who can visit them sometimes are doctors and nurses. We have nursing homes surrounding us with so many people who are suffering, whose bodies are breaking down. And we kind of shield them away from the rest of society. We don't want to be surrounded by it. So the challenge is that many of us go through so much of our life never acknowledging the reality of death and our own mortality. Now, of course, our current stage of life with the coronavirus has revealed something that we should have known all along. Life is fragile and weak. Despite all of our great technological advancements, still a microscopic virus can still inflict drastic harm on the entire world. Think about that. The equivalent of a little bat getting a cold has led to millions of people suffering as we speak. Life is incredibly fragile. For some of us, this is maybe the first time that we're really confronting death and suffering. But I know for many of you, it's not. For many of us, I think this pandemic brings back hard memories of lost loved ones, grueling hospital visits, times of personal frailty and suffering. We have to ask ourselves this question. How do we respond to all of this death around us? And so we look to Jesus. How does Jesus respond to death, specifically the death of his best friend, Lazarus? What do we discover? Well, Jesus weeps when he sees Lazarus's tomb. He cries. He mourns the loss of his dear friend. And this is the key to understanding this whole passage from the Bible. Hours before Jesus cries, he promises Martha that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet he still cries for him. Think about that for a second. Jesus knows in just a few hours he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and still he cries and weeps for the loss of life. You see, as Christians, we have confidence that death is not the final word in our existence. And we're going to see this most vividly in Easter in just a few weeks. But even though we have that confidence, that doesn't change the fact that death is hard, that suffering is painful, and that it is something that God does not desire for us. You see, sin is separation between us and God, and it leads to isolation from God and others. So in many ways, suffering and death is really just the ultimate manifestation of sin. Since sin is a separation from God, our death is a final separation. And we know that for any of us who've experienced pain or suffering, it's really hard for other people to identify with our pain and suffering. So in response, sometimes the only thing we can do is weep and cry. You know, I've had moments in my life like that where I've been overcome with grief. I remember a time in the hospital where I was overcome with grief. I just ran to the nearest lounge where nobody was there. I found that place, went in, and just wept bitterly. Here's the incredible thing, though. We worship a God that cries with us. God entered into the fullness of human experience by becoming one of us in Jesus Christ. And as such, he is deeply moved by our pain and suffering. Isn't this oftentimes what we need when we encounter death? I know when I've lost a loved one, I don't want to get into a theological conversation about the problem of evil and the problem of suffering and pain. I want a shoulder to cry on. This means for us, we can turn to Jesus right now and mourn the loss of life all around us. So we can take time to weep for the devastation going around in our world. And in so doing, we can know and feel his presence. So I want to challenge you all to weep right now. To go ahead and acknowledge the pain and loss in life. And to weep and know that Jesus will draw near to you in your weeping. But there is, of course, more to the story. After Jesus weeps for Lazarus, he travels to the grave, he prays to the Father, and he yells at the top of his lungs, "Lazarus, wake up!" And Lazarus gets up. You see, because Jesus was fully a human being, he is able to weep for death. But because he is also fully God and fully divine, he has the power over death. So according to the law of the world, Lazarus is dead. But to Jesus, he's just asleep. So Lazarus would have experienced here simply a kind of falling asleep. So he falls asleep, and the next thing he experiences is the sound of Jesus' voice saying, "Get up and come out of there." And so, you know, he wakes up in a very cold tomb, and he gets out, and there's probably a very comical scene where, you know, he looks like kind of half a mummy, and they untie him. So for those of us who trust in Jesus, we know that actually death for us will be more like falling asleep. And as such, we don't have to fear death anymore. I don't fear going to bed at night because I know where I'm going to wake up. And for those of us who trust in Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of death because we know where we're going to wake up on the other side. But let's face it, many of us are afraid right now, right? There is disease and death all around us. And maybe for some of us, we've got a kind of a low-level anxiety. Maybe for other of us, it pops up from time to time. Some of us are terrified of catching this virus. But if we know deep down in our heart of hearts, the end result for us in the end is more like asleep and waking up to Jesus, we can actually turn to Jesus and conquer our fear of death. So this is the interesting thing that we as Christians believe. That on the one hand, we're called to truly enter into the suffering and pain of the world and the death in the world and weep there for it. Yet at the same time, we are called to not be afraid. And this gives us an incredible power as Christians to comfort those who are dying. You know, early on in the life of the church, Christians shocked the Roman Empire during times of plague and pandemic. Back then, there were plagues similar to ones we've had probably every 10 years, and they were usually more deadly than the ones we're experiencing now. And oftentimes people would flee town and they would run away from plague victims. They'd kick them out of town and they would just get as far away as they could. And it was shocking for people because Christians actually went towards the people suffering. They tended to their wounds. They were with them and they cried with them in their suffering. And this is incredible because most of these Christians were not doctors. They didn't have the power to heal them right there. But they went because they were called to weep for the dying, to tell them about Jesus, and they knew that if they got sick, if they got contaminated in the process, that their death would not mean the ultimate end of their life. You know, I don't know how this pandemic's going to play out. As I said last week, I could give you, I could ask everybody here and get, you know, 40 or 50 different opinions about how it's going to play out. But I do believe that there might come a time where God will ask you to put your life on the line to care for someone else who is sick. But the question kind of remains, how can we have this kind of confidence? How do we have confidence that Jesus will take away death? We have confidence by believing in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. This is what's going on in the beginning of our gospel passage. Jesus asks Martha if she believes in the resurrection. And Martha, you know, she gives a kind of Sunday school answer, right? She says, you know, I believe the resurrection is going to come at the end of time. Right? You know, Martha's a, you know, she had all the Sunday school answers. She probably checked the answer key in the back. You know, she's got the right response. But Jesus actually challenges her, impresses her in her answer. He says, Martha, I get it. You've got this thing all figured out. He says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, the key to conquering our fear of death is not in some abstract belief in heaven or an afterlife, but it's instead a belief in Jesus as the only one who can bring about resurrection, because Jesus is God, the true source of all life. So it's not about reciting some trite aphorisms about heaven, but a deep-seated trust in belief in Jesus as our Savior. So what Jesus is asking us to do is not just to kind of believe in heaven or an afterlife. He's saying, believe in me, to trust in him. And this is what it means to have faith. Faith is not simply a belief in abstract concepts like mathematical formulas. It's more like entering into a marriage. It's trusting with your whole being in Jesus. So this is what Jesus is asking each one of us to do today, to believe that he is the resurrection and the life. And how do we do this? How do we continue to do this? Well, the simple answer is we commit to hearing his voice. In the same way that Lazarus was able to hear Jesus' voice when he died, we commit to hearing Jesus' voice right now. We practice hearing the voice of Jesus. We do this obviously in reading scripture. So now is a great time for many of us. We've got time on our hands. Consume as much scripture as you can. Read the Gospel of John. You can finish it in an afternoon easily. Hear Jesus' voice. Begin to pray and to seek out his words. What you're doing here, you're actually practicing. You're practicing what it's like to actually be attentive to Jesus and hear him. And what's going to happen when you do this is you're going to trust more and more that when you die, you're going to hear Jesus' voice one more time. And he's going to tell you, wake up. Think about this. So, we've got Frances, and just a few months ago, she was just, 5 or 6 months old. And what's incredible there is, she would wake up, and if she woke up alone, she would start screaming uncontrollably. And kind of as a parent, instinctively, right? Whenever she wakes up, I just start talking to her. I've made up a couple of original songs. I won't sing any of those songs to you today. I trust they're very melodically sound. But once I start talking to her, once I start singing to her, she calms down. And she no longer wakes up frightened, but she'll actually begin to wake up smiling and wake up happy. Why is this the case? This is the case that is because she's spent her entire life hearing my voice and hearing Allie's voice. Her whole life has been surrounded by our words. So when she begins to startle, our voices comfort her. Friends, I want to challenge you today, get used to hearing Jesus' voice. Hear his words in the Bible, discern his voice in quiet prayer, saturate yourself in his words. Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find a soothing voice to comfort you in your tears. But you're also going to have a deep-seated trust in a firm foundation that you can withstand all the fears of death, because you will know that you will continue to hear Jesus' voice even after you die. So put all of your confidence in Jesus as the resurrection and the life, knowing that when the worst happens to you, the end of your life will not be isolation and death, but instead, you will hear the words of Jesus crying out to you, wake up. Thanks be to God.